Hey guys, welcome to Geopods. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And in this endeavor, we're further joined by two members from Team Geostrata, Harsh and Vishesh. So Harsh, how are you?
Great, how are you doing?
Even I'm good. Harsh, I really want to ask you this question. It's been a month since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and it was largely believed that this invasion will prove to be a blitzkrieg. However, that has not happened as of yet. So how do you see this invasion that's going on?
See, there are two parts in this. First is the part of logistics, and second is the part of intent. So in the part of logistics, the Russians have failed. And in the part of intent, they didn't have the intent to go all out on the Ukraine's land, because they had this thing in their mind that they had to keep, low-key military intent. Why? Because there is something that is called resentment in the population, which they thought that won't be there. So they don't need to, attack the Ukrainians in that way. And they thought that when they will come to the Ukrainians, they will be welcomed with open arms. So that's why they didn't keep that much logistics with them ready, because they thought that within 5 days we will be in Kyiv and the government will fall and they will put someone else apart from Zelensky. But that has not happened. And apart from that, what we have seen is that the intent was that Kremlin would go and the world would see that the Kremlin has been welcomed. So the intent was not to go all out, but one place, because of the intent being a failure, and at the other place, due to that intent, the logistics being a failure, we have seen that the mission of Russians in the Ukraine has as of now failed in terms of military credentials, but in terms of online warfare that is going on, that is also a part of battlefield in 21st century. We have seen that they have cooped up, especially in the areas where their dominance is there, like in Belarus. The Western media is not showing this, but they have a clear dominance in the internet realm of China, Russia, Central Asia, but that is not seen by our eyes because we consume Western media more. And on the other hand, there have been two spheres of influence through this. So yes.
Okay, so basically what you've told us is that you've stated that this invasion, in terms of what was the intended purpose, it's been a failure. If it's not a complete failure, to a large extent, the invasion has sort of failed. But I want to ask you this question again, that do you think that Putin was ready for this kind of resistance from Ukraine, or it was something that he sort of overlooked?
I think the Russians knew already what resistance would come. And apart from that, I think that the Russian establishment knew that it would be difficult. But the thing is that Putin's eyes and ears have been surrounded in past many years, especially since COVID, by the advisors who only tell him what he wants to listen. That is a problem. But the Russians on ground know that it is very difficult to go all out when it comes to Ukraine. And on the other hand, the West has armed Ukraine to the teeth since 2014, the annexation of Crimea and takeover of the eastern Ukraine, that is Luhansk and Donetsk. But the problem has been that there are many underground workings also going on, especially in terms of training and other things that the Russians didn't see coming, and the way the West has reacted. But still there are many loopholes in terms of West. So yes, that remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Here we also have Vishesh. So hi Vishesh, how are you?
Alive and well, how are you?
Okay, so is Ukraine. But apart from that, Vishesh, if we see the Western media, if we see Instagram, Facebook, or whatever articles that are coming through, or if we just look and analyze the Western media, there is this utter sense that not one opinion has been presented in the support of Russia. Now, what we can agree upon morally is that any war, any invasion is wrong because it kills people and there's a lot that goes on. But to believe or to advocate that that Putin has gone mad. You know, there's this madman thesis that, you know, Putin is very egoistic, and in his march against the Western world, he has decided to invade Ukraine. While we would not like to believe in, you know, that kind of theories, why do you think that Russia has decided to invade Ukraine? Are there some certain legitimate threats to its security, or is it just Putin playing his grand game against the West? What do you think about it?
Well, that's a long question, and I'll try to answer it as briefly as possible. In 1968, a film came out in the American circuit. It was called The Russians Are Invading, and in which the Russians were shown as a kind of people who eat a lot of food, invade, and are trying to spread revolutions but are idiots. So when we look at the Russian 19th century, 18th century, and most importantly the 20th century Russian ideas and ideologies, which have been influenced by the Napoleonic era and the later Bolshevik revolution, one common thread we have seen is that there is a fetish that the Russian people have always had in their mind, a kind of fetish which takes pleasure in dark activities, in, for example, war, death, and most importantly, a fetish that has been fed during after the Stalinist times because of propaganda to each and every kid that the revolution is inevitable, and in the end, a world revolution is something that we have to achieve. Many states, for example, Ukraine, Albania, who resisted earlier on, for example, Albania, was in the end crushed under Stalin's regime. So yes, it is very politically and strategically important for Putin to invade Ukraine.
Okay.
It is a threat that he will sanction, and he will create a kind of a boundary by which the EU will face more tension in front of its borders, but Russia will become much more bigger power in the European sector than
okay.
It is currently. Yes, there is also a madman theory that is going around that Putin is very egoistic, and as Mr. Suri just said, that yes, he's surrounded by men who are feeding on his ego. But at the base of it, what I see is that, think of it as one of those kids who has grown up in the generation where Stalin was revered, where you have been fed this ideology that every single day is a day for revolution. In 1989, when Putin was working with the KGB and the USSR split, and all the different factions were created, he said this is the biggest geopolitical blunder of the century.
Okay.
So when you see a person from behind the eyes who has always wanting to and meaning to become a legend like Stalin, like Lenin, you have to think that propaganda really worked on him.
Okay.
No matter how many oligarchs come in his way, no matter how many comedians dressed as Zelensky come in his way, he always will go in front for the so-called revolution, which is psychopathic in its nature, but in his mind makes total sense, because he wants to be a uniter of the old Soviet Union like Lenin. And from the national question that Stalin presented, I think he is trying to become the true representative and the 21st century version of that Bolshevik revolution all on his own, a true representative of the national Russian identity, and most importantly, a representative to the world that no matter what happens, you don't mess around with us.
Okay. So while you've also stated that this, you know, what Putin believes in, while it is propaganda on one side, it's also his reality. But now, breaking from this, I want to ask this question from you, Harsh, that all of us, everyone is blaming Russia for the invasion, because again, it's the aggressor, it has invaded Ukraine. But there is this thing, Harsh, what do you think about the role of US in this invasion? Because they're already facing China, and they knew how sensitive Russia is when it comes to Ukraine. And for years, Vladimir Putin has been trying to negotiate it with the West. So do you think the US lawmakers or the deep state of US, they have a part in, you know, in this invasion? Because they've instigated Russia for this invasion. They could have just left Ukraine. They don't have as much a security threat from Russia at this point of time. So why were they just trying to hit upon Ukraine again and again and again when they knew Russia would do something?
So here are two geopolitical angles that are involved here, and what analysis I have made through this is that, one, that US will make Europe its new cash cow in terms of oil and gas. So what they have done is they have, you know, plunged Russia into a place where Russia won't be able to supply oil and gas to US allies. And US will certainly push everyone to, you know, replace Russia with an alternative which is friendly. And which is that alternative? Obviously, the US. US is self-sufficient when it comes to energy, and it can very well supply through its transatlantic treaties and through different chains of supplies to the Europeans. One, that is where the advantage has been. So the clear usage of US power and US creation of this dilemma that, you know, Ukraine will come into us, or, you know, making the Russians feel very uneasy, is basically benefiting the Americans themselves in terms of oil and gas, and their influence, which has been losing somewhere in this particular area. Because now what will happen, the NATO budgets are going up. The countries that are in NATO, especially Germany, they are for the first time spending more than 2% of their GDP, which is going to promote the allies' military infrastructure more. And every single ally of US is now afraid that what will happen. This again benefits the US military infrastructure and military industrial complex at home. That is the second part. Now the third thing is, through this, they will cash in their deterrence against China in Indo-Pacific. So they are taking money from the Europeans, securing their borders completely by arming to the teeth the Europeans, so that Russia is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Russia is destroyed, and an autocratic ally of China is just a beggar to China. That is what they are creating. So basically they are ending the final resistance that the Russians pose to them, and by showing to the world that they have nothing. And through that, they are going to supply their arms and ammunition and their supply chains in Indo-Pacific by telling the Europeans and everyone that, see, if Russia, which has just $1 trillion economy, can do this to Europe, imagine what a $14 trillion economy with 140 crore population can do to us in Asia, to our interests in Asia. So that is what they are doing. It is basically a narrative creation. It is a narrative creation which will be set up for the Second Cold War. This is basically the beginning of Second Cold War. And the US is benefiting from every single place here. So
okay.
That is it.
So whatever happens, US stands to win. And while we've talked about US, we've talked about Russia, we've talked about Putin, Vishesh, I want to diverge the topic. I want to ask about, what about Zelensky's point of view, and what about Ukraine? Like, how, like, what is it, what is Ukraine gaining out of all of this? First, they were eagerly looking to join NATO, as any European country wants to, but now they've sort of said that, okay, we won't be joining NATO. So, what about Ukraine, and how do you see this playing out from the perspective of Ukraine?
It's playing out the way I always thought it would play out. When a comedian becomes the president, the nation is seen as a satire, and this is becoming a satire. I mean, all he got was a support from Arnold Schwarzenegger making a video in his support. But if I look at it in an objective point of view, it is much simpler to say that, oh my God, Zelensky has been screwed over. But when we think about it, here's a man whose name came up in the Panama Papers, whose government is knee-deep in corruption, who is facing a force which says that we are denazifying a country, a Jewish country with a Jewish president, but still is using denazification. And he, with his t-shirt on and his propaganda on TikTok and Instagram, with his nice little face and comedian wit, I might call it, is trying to protect his image and show himself as a Che Guevara, or more less of a Che Guevara and more of a man who's being attacked by a Pinochet.
Okay.
And this new Chile is not going to have a new dictator installed, but this new Chile is going to have a new revolution, which is in fact supported by the United States. Now, many people, including myself, believe that Zelensky played this card of joining NATO as a kind of a political stunt that he wanted to show to the Russians and his all the countries around, for example,
but
Belarus.
What was he trying to gain out of this?
He was trying to gain a kind of a moral authority in
okay.
front of a society which
okay.
thinks that our government is going down the hill.
Okay.
But he did not realize that the ramifications would be so devastating. He knew that Russia might do something against him politically or socially, sanctions or something like that. But he didn't know the ramifications would be this big. That on the other side, there is a bear sitting who in his mind is Lenin. And on this side, there is a comedian sitting who in his mind is Che Guevara. So in the end, Lenin has to beat Che Guevara. So when we look at it for this part, I believe that Zelensky is what he always has been. A comedian who always wanted to be a politician, but in the end couldn't be anything but a satirist and a satire towards the entire world. And the only people who suffer are the people and the people whose jokes is on them. That is the Ukrainians. They are the ones who are being laughed at by all these political systems, from NATO to Zelensky to Putin, because in the end, their interests are the least possible thing that matters to anyone.
So, do you guys think that Ukrainians as a people or as a community, they're aware of this larger game being played out and they're sort of being the sheep that is going to get cut down either by the Russians or by the US? So do you think Ukrainians have this sense or they have any idea about them being used? What do you think, Harsh?
I think the only people who know that they are being used are non-Westerners. And they know that they are being used. But the thing is that they can't do anything about it. And on the other hand, when they think that they are being used, they don't know at what level they are being used. And that is the problem of, you know, all the non-Westerners being used, not for last 100 years, but since the time that they have been non-Westerners. Since the time there has been an East and a West in the world. Because we are used every day. Every normal Easterner has been used every day. We don't even think about it, but on daily basis, somewhere or the other, we are being used as puppets on Instagram or as users for their communist or, you know, for their capitalist industries by the Westerners. When they want communism in the world, they will get it through their gears. When they want capitalism, they will get it through their gears. It is like the world's entire system is being run by them. And even when we know that we are being used, we love to be used. So that is a problem. And apart from that, I would like to say that the current problem here is that the Ukrainians cannot do anything. Because if they are being used, still they are being armed to the teeth, so they can pose a resistance to the Russians. And if they are not being used, then also they will die from the Russian hands. So in any case, Ukrainians have to die.
So they're preferring US over Russia?
Yeah, they are preferring to die by the Western gun than the old zinced corrosive Russian gun. Because they would get MACD, Zara and different Western things if they die through their gun. But they won't get anything if they die through the Russian gun.
They'll get gulags.
Exactly.
Okay. So while we've discussed a lot of imperatives and facets regarding the Russian invasion, now I want to take just quick reviews from both of you and basically predictions. So Vishesh, what do you think now it's going to happen? Because now Ukraine and Russia, they're also negotiating. While Russia is invading Ukraine, the two parties, they're also mediating and they're trying to sort the solution out. So what's your prediction? What's going to happen in the coming time?
Two predictions. First, if Russia goes all out, and all out I mean not just militarily, but in the UN as well, goes all out and against everything, I think it will be coming as close to home as Palestinians have come to their cause. That is nowhere. The second thing, which is much likely in my opinion, is going to happen is Russia will expand its territory, but it won't go all the way. It will have to yield. The only point is when it will yield and what are the ramifications that it will create for the eastern countries, the eastern powers on the rise, for example China and India for that matter. And all we have to see is that they are cleaning their Kalashnikovs. And on the other hand, the Americans are cleaning their Patriots. And in the middle, we have a comedian trying to dance and make everybody laugh so nobody invades them. So in the end, the comedian is the one who's going to get his ass kicked. So we have to see who kicks it first.
Okay.
So, I think there is just one point that we have missed, that is China.
Okay.
So,
the elephant
like to,
in the
yeah,
room.
I would like to.
Or the
dragon.
Dragon
in the room.
Exactly.
Dragon.
So, the dragon has to gain from everywhere, and it will gain the biggest in this. At one place, the US is also gaining, but at the other place, the dragon is also gaining. What it is doing that if in this war the Russians survive or they lose, if they survive, still the dragon is going to win because they will chunk in their yuans into the Russian economy and then take the Russian Far East, their resources and their influence, everything. The second, if the Russians lose, then they are nothing but the puppets of Chinese. And if the Russians win, which is not going to happen, still the Chinese are winning because it will cement that the authoritarian regimes will rule the 21st century and all small countries are nothing but puppets.
So do you think Xi Jinping has a part in, again, pushing Russia towards the invasion?
See, I think he has. Why? Because even the timing of invasion was so strategic. Like, it was directly called from the Beijing that, you know, the war or the invasion should happen directly after
the
Winter
Olympics.
Olympics.
Yes.
It was so strategic that Xi Jinping was like, ki, first, I need my clout in international affairs through presenting this Winter Olympics, and then you get your own part.
Okay.
And other way which we are not looking is, why is this strategic? The US was somewhere down under talking about a trade talk with the Chinese, which the underground Chinese machinery didn't want it. So this war has completely, you know, ended it. And somewhere what has happened is that China is to gain everywhere, and the Chinese sharks, especially the hawks and sharks, they have won from this.
So do you think Taiwan has to worry from this invasion?
Taiwan has to worry every day. Because there will be a day when the Communist Party has exhausted its economic gears.
Okay.
And no longer they can provide money.
Okay.
To their people. And because the end of development is coming for them. Now they are coming in debt.
Okay.
Because now the financial market is taking over. And when a financial market takes over, the Western built financial market takes over our system, then it means that as much as they have created through their workshops or their factories is done. Now production is done, manufacturing is done, now financial gearing, engineering starts. So now what is happening is that now they need to give something to their people, and that is nationalism. And that nationalism has to come. How will that come? Two things, Hong Kong and Taiwan.
Hong Kong has been seized.
Yeah, Hong Kong
largely
has been seen. Its faith will be completely seized before 38, before 40, that is 2038, it will be seized completely. But Taiwan has to worry, and Taiwan will be the biggest contention and biggest geopolitical problem between US and China. I think the US is preparing its cash cow for that particular day only.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a sense, both the hegemon powers, the US and China, are using this Russian invasion of Ukraine as a sort of test, or as a sort of a pretest to sort of see how the bigger game, the fight for Taiwan will play out.
Yeah, you can call this the Korean War of Cold War.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can call
yes.
this the start of it.
Okay, so while that's a nice spot to end this conversation as of now, and we'd like to come again and let's see how this invasion goes. So thank you, Harsh, and thank you, Shesh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So shall we call it today?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys.